Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to talk about how a nutrient that you first heard about on this program about 4 years ago is now getting a lot of attention because of how it increases the immune response. It's a lifesaver, and it helps with anti-aging. Brigham and Women's Hospital has come up with some new research. I'll tell you about that. I have a lot on health and healing, and as always, we look at the entire world scientific literature from quality peer-reviewed journals. So we're actually sharing information that the heart of consensus science, but it's all challenging the way we live in a good way. Today also, we're going to be having one of our scholars in residence and executive producer, Richard Gale, on the program. And Richard has come up with myself with a list of issues that we should be focused on every day, individually, collectively, local, state, federal, and worldwide, and we're not on any of these issues. We're more focused upon sensational headlines, mass shootings, blaming each other, pro-gun, anti-gun, pro-Trump, anti-Trump. None of this is helping us as we head off a cliff. So we're going to address that. Also today, a commentary, if time permits, from a person who's going to be having his own program on the Progressive Radio Network. Every week we have a group of constitutional lawyers who are going to be sharing a forum. And today's John Whitehead on war spending will bankrupt America from Op-Ed News. Also, we provide more information on the environment than any other radio or television program in American history. Today, 9 different areas of environmental concern. You'll be updated on all of them. These are all from quality sources. And what it does, it gives us an idea of what we're not looking at. It's like walking across the street where there's a green light and you're looking down at your text messages and you step off the curb. That's what's happening with our environment. All I can do is present you with the information. My hope is you'll be motivated to start making individual and social changes. And then we have a couple of the important audio clips, including one from Anonymous, that will change everything you know. It's an important clip. Another one from a professor talking about why he believes how professors teach will likely be changed this year. And Emma Watson, she's the actress that was in the Harry Potter series, and she's giving a short 5-minute talk at the United Nations on the future of feminism from the Factual Feminist. And for decades, there has been a roiling fight within the feminist community of who is a real feminist and are you feminist enough? And there are many different factions. There's no one voice that speaks for all feminists or all women, nor should there be. There should be the opportunity for every woman to define for themselves what is important in their liberation and the maximum amount of truth that they can live through in their own lives, the choices, the freedom to make those choices in whatever way they choose. So if you choose to be conservative and you call yourself a feminist because that's your view of the world, you should have that right. You shouldn't be denigrated. There's this pattern on the left to denigrate everybody, to get in your face, to hurt you, to defile you if you don't agree with them, as was the case so long on the right. So we're going to start having on some spiritual feminists. Feminists who don't believe the problem is men, wrong about everything and trying to deny what it is to be a man, as if everything can be genderfied into a synonym for what their ideal is, instead of the reality of our own individual biological and psychological and spiritual determinist views. So I'm going to be playing clips from women who have a different point of view. You could agree or disagree, but at least you'll hear their voices. And interesting on free speech radio, how little free speech or diversity there really is. That's the reality. But we will be dealing with that as well. Now let us begin, and we always begin, with information that can help everyone on the planet. I mentioned some years ago that I was doing a study with NAD. NAD is a particular nutrient, and it's just NAD because it's a little complex when you describe that it's a nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. So it's just better to say NID. It's a natural molecule. It's found in all living cells. And what it does, it shuts off the capacity of dendritic cells and macrophages to dictate CD4 and their fate. So researchers at Brigham and Women's Hospital have discovered a new cellular and molecular pathway that regulates CD4 and T-cell response. Now, why is this important? Why should you care? First, because it can help prevent allergies. It can build your immune system. It can strengthen you if you have AIDS-defining illnesses or HIV infection. And I was working, as many of you know by now, I work with 1,200-plus individuals with full-blown AIDS at the Tri-State Healing Center for more than 10 years, and with a group that decided to do a very intensive course, meaning 4 hours a day, 24 hours a week, where they were getting up to 200,000 milligrams of vitamin C, a whole lot. They actually reversed all their AIDS-defining illnesses. And that's when the whole idea was to attack, because the last thing anyone wanted was to show that you could use natural and non-toxic therapies, both psychological, humanistic, and spiritual counseling by people like Dr. Michael Ellner and others, Dr. Donald Mullins, my good friend over at the Albert Ellis Center, Dr. Lori Glauberman, Dr. Lane Kahn, Dr. Alan Pound. There are a whole group of individuals that believe that you're not chemically imbalanced. You have life issues. Let's resolve them. And these shepherds of humanistic psychology help people get over the stress of being diagnosed with this condition or these conditions. It's not one condition. It's 30 different conditions. And then we worked at the molecular level to kill the virus, build up the immune system. And what we found is that we can increase the T4 cells, T8 cells, substantially. And this was being used even then, but in a different form. But that's the last thing you want to hear if you're making tens of billions of dollars a year giving a very toxic drug like AZT. If people could take AZT and die, or take a natural therapy and live, which one do you think the American media is going to support? Well, how about this? I had a press conference with all these doctors, their patients, their records, a group of scientific observers who had reviewed all their records, and not a single member of the media came. That tells you a lot. So it kind of flipped back into my memory when I was mentioning CD4. So they published an article in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology that shows that when you use NAD, and you don't have to use a lot, like 100 milligrams, that it can make an enormous difference in helping your immune system. Well, when we have flu season, wouldn't vitamin D and vitamin C and quercetin and podiarco and echinacea and astragalus and green tea, a good night's sleep, really fully hydrated, and NAD make a difference? You bet. Better than the worthless, dangerous, completely fraudulent flu vaccine. Quote, this is a novel cellular molecular pathway that is distinct from the two major pathways that were previously known. Since it is distinct and since it has the ability to regulate the immune system systemically, we can use it as an alternative to bypass the current pathways. Wow. That is so powerful. So would all of the physicians or nutritionists or scientists who've been using NAD, you're on the right side of history. You're on the right side of healing. Keep it up. Also, it was decades ago that I did a study with people who had predisposition to cancer. They believed, because their doctors told them so, and they were suggested to have their breasts removed. Now, they had no breast cancer at all, but because they tested for the gene that's supposed to designate them as high risk, they were very concerned. And thousands of women were having completely healthy and normal breasts removed because of this fraudulent science. And it is fraudulent science. There's no gold standard in it. The fact that you may test for a gene that may have some causative factor does not mean you cannot change the milieu or the medium, your body, your immune system, and prevent it 100%. Anyhow, I did a study of women who were in that category, who otherwise were thinking of having their breasts removed. And one of the things they received was SAMe, that's capital S-A-M with a small e. Because we had good input and some basic research that it could help prevent breast cancer. Not a single woman that we followed over 10 years developed any cancer. They were on a healthy vegan diet, they exercised, dealt with stress, they did yoga, meditation, they took a lot of juices, they had a lot of raw foods in their diet. And they took a lot of good supplements like by the curcuminoids and also the, at that time it was not called black cumin seed oil. It was just cumin oil, but also SAMe. That was the top of the list. This is the latest. And this is in the current issue of OctoTarget, which is a major cancer journal. Quote, from McGill University, which is up in Montreal, a research paper published in the issue of OncoTarget reveals protective effects of SAMe against cancer growth, invasion and metastasis in human breast cancer cells in a mouse model of the disease. Quote, we and others have shown that several key molecules implicated in the metastatic cascade are epigenetically regulated through DNA hypomethylation. The universal methyl donor, SAM, could be used in this regard as an inhibitor of this demyelinization and hypomethylation, end quote. In lay language, that SAMe can help your breast tissue from being invaded by cancer and reduces the tumor cell proliferation. So long ago we did this, now they're catching up, and it's good. Also, there's from the conversation, they show the other side of an argument, and we must always understand that before you become absolutely certain and locked into a belief and become orthodox, ultra-orthodox, hyper-orthodox, where you do not allow any discussion on anything, your views are set in stone. Now, that's perfect if you're in a community that all believe in the same thing without ever a question, where there's no doubt, where there's no pessimism, where there's only this kind of euphoric belief that whatever you're believing in, it cannot be challenged. Well, unfortunately, science has become that way as well. And when science becomes orthodox, it ceases to be real science. It ceases to examine its own limitations and weaknesses. And that's what we have today in much of science. But we also have it in our own lives. Last evening, I had a discussion with those who were interested in what is called an intentional community. It's nothing like the 70s where the communes and no. An intentional community is completely different, and it's really an issue for today. I mean, it's bursting with the time is right, where people want to live a more authentic life. They want to get off the grid. They do not want to be burdened by unnecessary forced or familial or social responsibilities that they no longer feel apply to them. They've done their stuff. Now it's time for them to live their life in a way that's meaningful to them, but simply be in an environment where you have other people who share similar life views. But each person maintains their autonomy. Anyhow, one of the things I mentioned was that you have to look at yourself and others around you that you're ever going to do anything with from two points of view. Keep yourself open. One point is optimism. What are you going to harmonize? Can you harmonize your interest in creativity? Like, for example, musicians playing together, like the Everly Brothers used to sing and others. Perfect harmony. There's something so blissful about being with people or individuals, friends, family, lovers, where you're in harmony. That's the highest level of chi sharing that you can have. It's something you never forget. And you should look for that in people. And if you don't have any of that harmonizing, why be with them? What's the point? If you can't harmonize your interest with your work, your interest where you live, your interest and your authentic self with what you're devoting your time to, the one thing that's yours. And as everyone says, well, I can't make enough money at this, I can't make enough money at that, I have to stay working on Wall Street, I have to stay working in the pharmaceutical industry, I have to stay working in this hospital. No, you don't. That's not true. What's true is that you build up a lifestyle, not a quality of life, a lifestyle that has a certain cost to it. And almost always, whatever the cost is, that's how much a person makes. So if you're making $1 million a year, your lifestyle will cost you $1 million. If you're making $2 million, it's $2 million. I know this because I know how many people are now going broke, or if they're not broke, they have no cash. They have possessions, but all their money's tied up because they have debt. And almost always we accumulate debt. So then if you said, I'd like to be free, I'd like to have a different life, I'd love to be in a different place, I'd love to take care of animals in a natural sanctuary someplace. How cool was that? I just watched a little video last night of a person taking care of orphan orangutans, rhinoceros, and elephants. And at night, to keep the elephants from crying, each attendant sleeps with the elephant and, you know, holds the elephant's head in its lap and pets it. And then the elephant creates a bomb because its mother was killed for her ivory, or a rhinoceros, same way. And all these little creatures bond with these humans and bond with the dogs and run and play, bond with a cat. A little rhino and a cat are best friends and playing together, until they can be raised and put back in the wilds or a safe sanctuary. And you're thinking, wow, wouldn't that be cool to spend the night just hugging a baby elephant? I think it would be great. You know, I have an animal sanctuary where I take care of animals, and I know how great it is to spend time, you know, giving them hugs and grooming them and feeding them and watching them play and the trust they have. But how are you going to do anything that's that quality of life if your standard of living has been outreaching your income, in which case then you're born by debt, limited by the expectation you don't want to downsize or you don't want to change anything, then you're in a catch-22. You're never going to get out. So in any case, the other side of that equation is, what is the benefit of being a pessimist about that which you are uncertain about? And this is from the conversation. This is a new study that was done, and they actually found that there is a large body of work that suggests that being optimistic reaps enormous benefit, and we know that. We know that believing in something and believing in people and trusting is very important because you're releasing your chi to cause something to happen. When we hold our chi in, then nothing happens. But at the other side of that is, what happens if I do something with just blind optimism, with the hope that something's going to happen? And there is where pessimism comes in. And I don't call it pessimism, I call it critical thinking, where you look ahead at something and ask, oh, just give you an example. What's going to happen if I don't move from, let's say, if you live on in Miami Beach? The ocean's beautiful, the weather's beautiful, the people are upbeat and colorful and happy. They come from South America, most of them. There's a vibrancy when you walk down the streets, and that's wonderful. Well, that creates a reward feeling. Your brain's giving you dopamine rewards when you walk down the street and talk with people and you eat in a restaurant, sitting outside looking at the people go by. But what if you never choose, because of that optimism, and you don't want that dream interrupted, what if you never choose to look at global warming and the rising of the seas and the nighttime, the current coming in, the tide coming in and flooding streets and undermining the foundation of that beautiful building you live in? Because sooner or later, Not acknowledging that downside means that you will be blindsided by the downside, and then all your optimism will be submerged. So in life, we must look at what happens if we follow traits clear through. Look ahead. If I keep this diet going, what is the likely outcome in 2 years? If I keep, if I keep watching television all the time or spending all my time on social media, what's the likely outcome? Only by understanding that, and that takes critical thinking. Some may call it pessimism. I don't call it pessimism. I call it critical thinking, where you're optimistic, but you're only optimistic on what is reasonable and realistic. If something is not reasonable and not realistic, don't go there. You're going to end up getting yourself into trouble. And then you spend all your time making excuses or scrambling, you know, not to do something or trying to get out of it. I've seen so many people who've had businesses, they were not properly capitalized. They didn't have the right idea, or they had the right idea, they were in the wrong location. They spent, instead of saying, I made a mistake, let me stop now, cut my losses short and get out, they drained themselves dry and their family and friends, and then burned out because their ego was based upon the certainty of optimism instead of the uncertainty of critical thinking. Use both when doing anything. In any case, that's what this study showed, and it was a good study. And also, for those of you who like to drink wine and kind of swish it around your mouth and drink it down, or you're drinking, you know, diet sodas, even sugar-free, according to the British Dental Journal, you're far more likely to erode your teeth, the enamel, and the dentine. And when you lose that, wow, you end up with cavities and lost teeth and gum disease. And they talk about it's the acidity. And, quote, the King's team found that eating and drinking acidic foods and drinks, particularly between meals, carry the greatest risk. Those who consume acidic drinks twice a day between meals, such as soft waters, which is, you know, your, or fruit-flavored teas, were 1,100% more likely to have moderate to severe tooth erosion. So, acidic, that would be sugar, meat, dairy, eggs, fish. Or in the case of vinegars, though I do recommend apple cider vinegar in the morning and lemon juice as well, always brush your teeth afterwards. But otherwise, it's that acid food. That's the standard American diet. And finally, from the University of Florence and Carriggi University Hospital in Italy, this was published in the American Heart Association's journal Circulation. The vegetarian and Mediterranean diets are equally effective in preventing heart disease. Now, they did not look at the vegan diet, but rather the vegetarian diet, because you could be a lacto or ovo vegetarian, in which case you might eat dairy, or you might eat fish, or you might eat eggs, but they are both good. But compared to the vegan diet is best. If you're on the vegetarian diet or the Mediterranean diet, you're going to lose weight, you're going to lose body fat, and you'll have a substantial change in body mass index, and that is good. So they're both good. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us. On the line right now is Richard Gale, and I asked Richard to prepare some areas of discussion based upon what we individually, as a society — that does not mean the people in this audience or people outside of this audience who live a much more introspective and conscientious, holistic life. I'm talking about the 95% of Americans who don't. And while we're not paying attention to these issues continue to race ahead, some at breathtaking pace, beyond our comprehension and beyond any mathematical model, far outstripping the ideas that, don't worry, it's 100 years from now before that happens. No, it's happening right now as we speak. And it's only going to get worse. And by the way, just before we go to Richard, I didn't finish my thought. Anyhow, I was doing this discussion last evening, free to those who were interested in intentional living. But there was an audio glitch because the people didn't realize when you go into a conference call, if you don't mute it, everything that's going on in your background comes right across. And if you should get a call and you put it on hold, music comes on. So I had to start all over because people just didn't understand this. And then I lost a whole hour of conversation because people couldn't hear it. So what I'm going to do is this. In two days from now, Wednesday, at 8 p.m., I'm going to do it. It's not 2 days. It's tomorrow. Right after my progressive commentary hour, I'm going to do at 8 p.m. another discussion, about an hour and a half long, on intentional communities as compared to ecological villages, co-ops, cooperatives, and other common living arrangements for those who are interested in making a move, part-time or full-time, to a different environment in the best places around the world, and what are the advantages or disadvantages, and what do you need to do before you do this? Because an awful lot of people are just way past the deadline. I mean, their expiration date on change has lapsed years ago. They're just stuck in ruts. Highly conscious, hardworking people who just don't give themselves the opportunity because they feel somehow they're personally responsible and that no one else can do what they can do, without realizing that we're all going to meet an expiration date and someone will take our place, and hopefully someone will pick up the work that we've done and carry it forward. But when you think yourself indisposable, just remember, Buddha was there, and Eurydicles, Sophocles, Aristotle, Maimonides. Think of all the thousands of great minds of men and women who were so important in their day. And yet they passed, and life goes on. So I want people to live a longer life. I want them to live a more authentic life to their real nature instead of living a conditioned life based upon obligations epigenetically instilled in them that somehow they have to be the good daughter and the good son, which means they're going to do exactly what everyone expects them to do and not do what they should do. Even if what they're doing succeeds and they do it well, doesn't mean that they are compatible with their own authentic nature. That's part of the discussion I have. So it's going to be again tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. If you want to join in that intentional community discussion, because a lot of people hung up last night because they couldn't hear it. It was so garbled. But I was told by my webmaster how to mute everybody so there's just clean, crisp, clear until it's ready for people to ask questions, and I can unmute them one at a time. So you'll go to the PRN website, and here's what it is. You go to prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com. Put your name, full name, and phone number, and someone will call you back and screen you. We want to make sure that the people who are on board really care about it. Otherwise, it's not going to be of any benefit. Okay? And that'll be tomorrow night, a redo with new information, at 8 p.m. Let's go over and say hello now to Richard Gehl, who is standing by. Nice to have you with us today, Richard.
Hi, Gary. How are you? Yeah,
Richard, go through the issues.
Well, it's based on the conversation we had this morning and the fact that we don't seem to be dealing with any of the larger challenges threatening our future security, our physical wellness, the way we produce food, our economic stability, social equanimity, a conscientious use of the resources that our lives depend upon, and really, quite frankly, just even the conditions in society that benefit the growth of our soul life. Instead, what seems to take the spotlight are only the symptoms of our dysfunctions and neglect of what truly matters. We had Boris Berman on, one of the great social and science critics, some would compare with even with Noam Chomsky in some respects. And he wrote a trilogy of books, I think it was between 2002 and 2010. There was The Twilight of American Culture, Dark Ages America, and then Why America Failed. And what he puts forth is the premise that the U.S. is founded upon the premises of hustling. Even go back to our founders. They were just mostly wealthy landowners who tried to hustle England. And all these different symptoms that we are seeing, is a hustling culture. Trump, Obama, Clinton's, each is a hustler in their own right. And I was thinking the gun culture thing. Yeah, the NRA is one of the biggest hustlers par excellence. Islamophobia, the war on terror. It's this more hustling for the profits and revenues, the private intelligence and military industrial complexes. Our war of drugs is just a hustle job for filling our prisons. Russiagate is more political hustling, fake news. And so we seem to be in complete, when I think back, we seem to ignore everything that we know all too well should not be ignored. And I almost ask anyone listening, can we think of a single thing that any of our elected legislators are doing properly or correctly? Just one thing that honors human life and the well-being of every citizen. And I can't think of one. Just with climate change, this is not our words. This is the mouth of the Defense Department and thousands of scientists, biologists, conservationists around the world who have been raising red flags for years, almost two decades, over anthropogenic climate change. And this is the food security. Our current industrial agricultural paradigm is unstable. We don't engage in soil stewardship. If the collapse of our food system and agricultural system based on a monocrop and industrial chemical-based paradigm would be devastating. The complete destruction of our entire ecological environment upon which we depend. We're witnessing loss of species, ecosystems, acidification of the oceans, destruction of the forests. The entire hustle of the fossil fuel industry, oil, coal, fracking. So we're going through ignoring those things that matter for the future. Health. I mean, we discuss this all the time. Medicine today is dystopian. It's utterly lacking common sense. Barely a day goes by when we do not report on just another failure in medicine and our federal health agencies, neglect of some certain issues that they just wish to ignore and try to legislate anything that will create a preventive system. Growing infant mortality rate, depression, anxiety, obesity, this report today shows no signs of waning. Our health care is increasingly out of the reach of growing numbers of people. So there's solutions to all these. It's just that the will is not there. Our economy, predatory lending, unabated increase in derivatives and hedge funds that continue, exotic financial instruments such as credit default swaps are on the rise again. With respect to the welfare of our society, we are utterly ignoring growing numbers of citizens who become victims. They're destitute from our government follies. So we're witnessing a complete breakdown of the social contract for a decent life. And so unless we are among the elite, we don't deserve dignity. We're expendable. We can get lost in the prison system. We could be left to just die without medical care, or for all that matter, we just starve to death because we can't afford food. So those are just some of the things I just feel like we're completely ignoring. And as I said, there are solutions to all these things. We try to bring these up on the radio broadcast continually, but there's the lack of the will.
I appreciate that. There's also the lack of focus upon what happens when we invade or in any way interfere in another nation's sovereignty, in its local politics or national politics. When you have a drone that kills people, when you have anything happens in another society, that creates a future terrorist. That creates someone who considers their life to be martyred for revenge. And we have none of this thought in the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergs, the other deep state actors. It's just how much can we make? How many of our factories and contractors can we bring in? How can we exploit this crisis? How can we create a crisis in order to exploit it? Weapons of mass destruction was just one. Trying to create a war with Iran right now is another. How we created the Cold War, which was all a fallacy, I'm going to deal with that in the commentary next week, is another. Citizens United, all of our politics is open for the exploitation by the highest bidder, the people who can pay the biggest amount of money. That just reeks of nonsense. Why don't we take all money out of politics? We could if we made that a national issue. But we have no unity in America today. The students only rebel when there's something happens to them specifically at their school. And then suddenly everyone is supposed to be attentive. Well, where were they the day before the shooting? Why don't they challenge the teaching, the curriculum, the Common Core, which is just such nonsense, and how they are teaching to the test? They're functionally illiterate. Shouldn't that be a cause? Shouldn't we care about the quality of the mindset and the way that people can interpret life when they leave college or high school to become a part of active society? There's no energy at all into that. So I believe that we should do something. As far as the environment, let me just bring you up to date today. Here's the latest today to show you how pervasive it is. This is from Scott Johnson from Caution Wet. Quote, unruly Antarctica could change sea levels outlook without much warning. These sea level rise scenarios are not new, but they are food for thought. And then he goes on to show how gigantic Antarctica is. You could put the United States many times over in Antarctica. And how what we thought was the safest, most stable East Antarctica ice shelf is no longer stable. It's cracking, and what that means. This is another one from Common Dreams, and it says climate bellwether. With Cape Town, South Africa, almost out of water, day zero looms. In less than a month, residents in South Africa City could be lining up for rationed water under armed guards. Is this the new normal? And so the residents of Cape Town are now at day zero in about 4 to 5 weeks. They will have been out of water in the drought-stricken coastal South African city. And you're talking about millions of people living there, 4 million residents. That's a big city. And yet they need water, and they're running out of it. Wouldn't you think that would be important, that a city with 4 million people are running out of water? And it's going to be a while before they can build a desalinization plant. And then you have this. This is The Planet is Warming, and It's Okay to Be Afraid by Margaret Klein Salomon from New York Magazine, or Common Dreams. She says, why being fearful can be part of a healthy, heroic response to climate change crisis. And she goes on to talk about the New York Magazine article by David Wallace Wells, which was a good article. It was called The Uninhabitable Earth. And he was listing some of the worst-case scenarios that the climate crisis could cause. And on comes Guy McPherson last week saying, those are happening now. Now, if you were in Texas, you saw it now. Louisiana, now. Twice last year. Worse flooding twice in 1 year. One in 500-year storms in the same 12-month period. Worse fires in Oregon, worse fires in Montana, worse fires in the history of California, and it's still drier still, so it's going to happen all over again. So they're saying, Guy McPherson's saying, when the Arctic goes ice-free for 4 weeks, which it's planned to do this summer, you're going to see the beginning of heat going up and methane being released from the shallow waters, and that's going to cause temperature changes over much of North America, especially the northern latitude like Montana, North Dakota, and the ground is going to be so hot, normal grains won't be able to be grown. Now, that won't cause starvation in any American, But think of all the people in Africa and other countries that rely upon our grains to give them their food, sometimes their only food, for periods of time. And now that's a reality. So we're not finding that we have a national movement to address these things, and that's unfortunate. Instead, everything's about what did Trump tweet and the foolishness of what's going on with this stupid Russiagate, where the world burns and people suffer and people are going hungry and cholera is killing thousands of people in the southern Saudi Arabian peninsula in Yemen. And yet not a word in the media about how people are suffering. Or when the UN brought malaria from the Nepalese special forces there and then denied it, and 10,000 people in Haiti died. Well, wouldn't you think if you kill 10,000 people by preventable condition that someone should make that a story? So all over the world, we're seeing suffering and change and none of it being really discussed, and there's no open forums. So that's why we are going to address all these issues that the media is not addressing with people who can show the problem and the solution. So that's just to give you a heads up of what's coming at you. Okay. Thank you, Richard.
Very good, Gary. Bye.
We're going to take a brief break and come right back. Please stay with us. We have someone on the line right now. Standing by is both Lou Anne Panessi, but also a gentleman that we have not heard from. And he called Lou Anne. His name's James Riley. Let's say hello to James. Hi, James.
Hi, Gary. How are you? I'm so delighted to be able to talk to you.
Good. James, please, you and I have not talked, so tell us what you called Lou Anne about. What would you have to share today?
To thank her and you to get your address to pass on some information that profoundly affected my life, my longevity, my health, etc. You introduced me to a plant-based diet. I had a 98% occlusion on my left ascending artery, and it was touch and go if I was going to live through it. But I did have an operation that put two stents in a balloon, and it was wonderful. I could breathe again, but I still had that problem of all these damn drugs I was taking, the statins, you name it. I was getting all of it, and I remembered you, and I had to come down to you to get information. And you told me about the plant-based diet. Then next I wanted to send the documentation of a test I had by a Korean institute that tested the heart, the arteries, small and large, and gave a biological as opposed to a chronological date. I'm an 84-year-old gentleman, very active, great health because of you. But what they did when they tested eight different things regarding my arteries and my heart, they came up with a biological age that blew their mind of 34 years. I was going to send that document to you. And I have all kinds of friends. It just pains me. They all take 5 to 15 different drugs. Most of them are dead or look dead. And I feel so sorry that if they would have had your counsel about a plant-based diet, I wanted to see you, and you said, I want to know how I can reduce these number of drugs, the statins and the rest of them that I feared had all kinds of consequences. And you said, eat fruit, vegetables, nuts, and legumes. Further, you told me about the, and Luann also, about value of having coenzyme Q10 and vitamin C and other nutrients in your diet. And it was amazing, the results of it. I play an hour of tennis every morning. I'm too young to play golf, but I train for when I get old to play golf. My favorite sport is skiing, and I have the luxury of planning my 100th birthday at a ski slope. And I'm going to encourage everyone invited to get healthy so they can keep up with me down the slopes. And why? Because of you and your plant-based diet. It changed my life. And all those drugs that I had to take before, over the last 5 years, my cardiologist said, no, you don't know this one, you don't need that one. And now I take nothing except a mild blood thinner for an issue of minor issue of atrial fibrillation. Other than that, I'm free of it. I'm so hoarse. In this test I had with the Korean Institute, they've been doing it for 20 years, and now it's come to America, and I was shocked, and they were shocked at my biological age being 34.
And you're 80. You're 84.
84.
So your biological age is now 50 years younger than your biological.
Yes.
James, I didn't know this till you just told us this. So this is not unusual. This is rather normal. But it's important that the people in this audience, especially all the physicians we have listening and nurse practitioners and nutritionists, understand that we can reverse the aging process. And balloon angioplasty and stents do not cure anything. They've never cured anything. All they do is temporarily relieve the situation, the symptoms, so a person can have an open flow of blood so you don't die. But now that your arteries are strong, your DNA is reversing, and keep it up. And it's time that you came in for your follow-up protocol. Now that you're out of your crisis and you're reversing your aging by 50 years at the biological level, and out there skiing at 84, and as you said, all your friends are sick and dying and on all these meds, that's because they're afraid to change. I want to read one little sentence. This is from Dylan Charles. Quote, they say that energy goes where attention flows. And in today's insane media universe, our attention is everywhere, which means our energy is everywhere. And if it's everywhere, it's not where it needed most, contributing to our personal health and wellness. And one of the things that I work with is trying to get people to concentrate on rebalancing their chi, stop draining their chi with negativity or negative people or cynical people or bitter people, and to realize that chi is your reservoir like fresh water. And the plague in some cases wasn't caused the way people thought. It was caused by dead bodies not being buried properly, but rather put into the river that ended up in people's drinking water. So every time they had to drink water, they were reinfecting themselves. Well, just imagine every time your essential life force is impacted by negativity, and you can't, and you won't, and you shouldn't, and you don't. All those are negatives. You're now living based upon the positive upside of a chi. You don't have to be any place the rest of your life. You don't have to do anything you don't want the rest of your life. So only choose that which honors your spiritual values. Okay? Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for letting me encourage others, maybe 100,000 that might now take a plant-based diet now rather than a carb. I can't even look at these pictures of the hamburgers now. People don't know how good a vegetarian lifestyle can be, a parabella mushroom as opposed to a big yucky
getting there every day. James, I look forward to another conversation with you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
It's so unusual when someone has a 50-year reversal in their DNA. By the way, these studies going on now, these tests are very common, very accurate. So that's why I say you're two ages. You're your biological age and you're your chronological age. And that's why people who only focus upon their chronology are making a big mistake. Let's now say hello to Luann. And Luann, you have Christine and Eugene on the line now, right?
Yes, I do. I'm so happy that they were able to join us today, Gary. Just as you were speaking before about refocusing our lives and our lifestyles and living more authentically, the couple of people that we have on the line today, one is Christine. Christine was, you know, technically clinically depressed when she came to our retreat, but what a magnificent human being she is. And I wanted her to tell a little bit about her story and what changes she experienced after coming to our retreat.
Okay, we'll go over to Christine. Let's just mention that this is a part of our effort to help our sister station. And this morning, Bertold Reimer said, will we do a promotion for the retreat because it pays for thousands of premiums for the station that lessens the burden of financial strain already on an overstrained station. So we're happy to help the station. We love WBAI and its mission. And Christine, you were there. Tell us about, you were clinically depressed for how many years?
Yes, it was about 10 years. In fact, the retreat was in October, and in the following November, it was a 10-year anniversary of my husband's passing, and I had a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old at the time, and I think up until leading to the retreat time, I was just living in a fog. I put everything, all my energy into my children. I did not take care of myself at all. And it was just like I was a pinball in a pinball machine. I was just reacting to everything that happened to me. I had no force in my life. And going to the retreat, it took a lot to get there. I originally went for 2 weeks, and I ended up extending in a third week. It was life-changing. It's certainly not a magical wand that's waved and everything goes away. It doesn't. But what it did was it opened my eyes to see it with clarity my life, just taking the time to stop and get off the craziness of the world and really think, and reading the books and the meditation. And it was just beautiful surroundings and the animals. And it was just breathing again, breathing normally. You know, I typically do not breathe well. I do short, tense breaths, and it was just, it just brought such clarity to me. And now, you know, certainly, like I said, my problems are not gone. I still have them, but now I have the tools to see clearly what it's doing to me. I know when to stop what I'm doing. I know when to step back for a second and reanalyze. You know, it's a work in progress. You know, it's an everyday thing. But I know now that I deal with issues so much better than I would before. I was in the mindset of kind of woe is me. You know, I'm just this, dealt this horrible deck. But the truth is, everyone has their problems. Everyone has their issues in life that they have to deal with, and it's how you deal with them that gets you through. And I feel like a different person compared to what I was beforehand. And I thank you. It was a life-changing experience.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, Luann, you have another person we should hear from. And that person's on the line now.
Yeah, his name is Dr. Eugene Perlov, another amazing individual, a board-certified medical doctor who came with great curiosity to the retreat. And Eugene, if you could share your story with us, we'd love to hear it.
Hi. Yes, so I've been listening to Gary's show for several months and heard this incredible claims of health improvement from testimonials and stories, and I really felt so curious, and I felt I have to see it by myself, because in my practice I do take care of chronically ill patients and patients with pain. I just would like to be more hopeful with the outcomes. So I plan to go to the conference with my wife, who is also a physician, and it just happened that it was offered at the same time as the school break. So we brought our two teenage kids. And it was very generous of Luann and Gary to accept them, and they had a great time. I think things that we were struck with is the positivity and acceptance of everybody and very collaborative atmosphere. So it was not about performance or about doing things, but really about being in the state of support and really encouragement, which included everybody. So one, I can never forget this gentleman who was in his in probably late 50s or maybe 60s with diabetes, who came a week before us. And what I heard was that he could barely make a few steps because of his diabetic foot ulcers, and he was told that he needed amputation urgently. And when we got there a week later, he was walking very slowly, very short distance, and by the end of that week, he was walking about a mile and a half, maybe three times as fast, and his ulcers healed. So this is something that we don't see in medical practice. There was a lot of generosity from Gary with the time and ability to discuss deep topics. Our kids, I mean, we just were fascinated with many of them and felt included. So I felt that it was not just the diet. Well, the diet was amazing. It was not just the workout or the meditation or the butterflies. It was just all in conjunction with also a very positive outlook that I think has, makes a big difference in how a person does. And what I see a lot in my patients is that people don't believe they can get better. I think that really gets in the way. And since that retreat, I have put even more effort in helping people to reframe their relationship with health, and I always bring those examples from the retreat. And I actually recommend most of my patients to attend it. The trouble is that it does take a commitment. It's like a big step to go to retreat and be there and then stay with the change. It's just not easy. So this is a challenge that I have been experiencing, that people do make slow incremental change, those who are open, but some are just not even ready to change the diet, even if I can almost guarantee that they feel better.
I have a question for you, but I just want, since some of our stations are signing off now, Luann, could you give people the number in case they'd like to attend either the second or third week of April, the retreat, where some wonderful things can happen when you're around positive people, great food, juicing, detoxing, relaxing, de-stressing, quality time, quiet time, silence time, in-depth lectures, lots of good time with other people who are of a like mind. Give us your number, please.
Surely it's 903-881-7008. Again, 903-881-7008. Give a call.
Okay, and I have one final question for you, Eugene. Your wife is an oncology person at a major hospital.
She's a palliative
care doctor. Yes. Did she witness any of the improvements that she could not have normally explained from an orthodox medical point of view?
Absolutely. So we both witnessed, and she spoke with people with fibromyalgia, failed back syndrome, somebody with chronic back pain, even a person with metastatic cancer who we know we just, you know, take care of on the hospice. And later, I guess 1 week was just, we saw improvement in how they walked, how they were, just the energy level, and also hearing some of your subsequent interviews with one of the participants with metastatic lung cancer involving liver and brain, and that she was disease-free. I mean, that's really miraculous in Western medicine book.
Well, this week, by the way, we have a gentleman named Sal with stage 4 terminal lung cancer metastasized to 4 different parts of the body, who was told to go into hospice care. He had only months to live. He went to the retreat in October. He asked, could he stay longer? So I changed my schedule, as did Luann, and a limited staff, and we stayed with him for an additional 2 weeks. When he went back and went back to his hospital, the CAT scans showed that his tumors were shrinking. He asked recently, could he come back? There was no one there except Luann. And so he went back and spent another 3 weeks. He's getting his CAT scans done again this week or next week, and he's up and alive, no pain. He's off all opiate medication, by the way, with no pain. And he's gained weight, his energy's back, and we're interested to see the results. So I just want people to know that there are more than one way to look at health. And where I do not depreciate in any way people's choice of physician or treatment, I want them to know that we should also experience freedom of choice to look at other ways of maximizing the healing power within our own innate beings. Thank you very much, Eugene. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much.
And that's a regular board-certified physician and his wife, too, and who was there, and she's over at Sloan Kettering. Luann Panessi, final for our WBA audience, give the phone number one last time, please. And
yes, it's 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008.
Good. So we have a Power Pack show tomorrow. Hope you all listen. And tomorrow evening, following Progressive Commentary Hour at 8 o'clock, will be our discussion, this time muted so that you'll hear it, but there won't be any background echoing and noise and music. We found out how that happened and how to prevent it, but it'll be even more new information for intentional communities, and you can go to prnstudio@gmail.com. PRN is in Nancy, PRN, Progressive Radio Network Studios, @gmail.com, and give information. And Luann will be doing a pre-interview to make sure that this is something you could benefit from. Have a nice day, everyone.